Good shape. Bad shape. I know for myself, I have, I think last year, September, I had a back operation. And after that, I've not been able to do any exercise. So it's almost been a year. And my shape has gone. And so I'm now on a serious diet again to try and sort of just balance myself out and figure out how I'll live the next, prayerfully, 40 years of my life. But our shape is very important. But that's not actually the shape, obviously, that I'm talking about. I'm talking about a spiritual shape. What is your spiritual shape? I think that is a very important question that all of us need to be able to answer. The Bible says in Job chapter 10, verse 8, your hands shaped me and made me. In other words, each of us have been specifically and uniquely designed or shaped to do certain things to fulfill God's purposes towards His glory. Architects, obviously, one of the first things that an architect does in designing a building is they have to ask themselves the question, what is the purpose of the building? What will it be used for? Would it be office space? Would it be a mall? Would it be a recreational facility? Would it be a church building? What would be the purpose of the church building? Only Sunday services, what have you. And then they design the shape of the building according to its purposes so it can fulfill its purposes. In the same way, when God designed you and me as individuals, not collectively, as individuals, He asked, man, What is it that I want him or her to do? What role would they play? What purpose would they have in my kingdom, in this world? And then with that purpose in mind, before you were born, He shaped you in a specific way, in a specific manner, for a specific purpose. In Ephesians chapter 2, it says, we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works. We are His workmanship, okay? We're designed, each of us, for a specific purpose. Yes, there is sort of generic things for a disciple, if you may. In other words, every Christian needs to repent of their sins. Every Christian needs to be a fisher of men. Every Christian needs to have the heart of a servant, willing to serve in any way or manner. Those are sort of generic things, but then God in His workmanship also created us for a very specific purpose. You are not an assembly line product that was mass-produced without thought. You are God's handcrafted work of art, a custom designed, one of a kind masterpiece. Now, let's be honest. Who of us currently feels like a custom designed, one of a kind masterpiece? Okay, I think as Mark was sharing, my guess is that not too many of us feel that way. Now, whether you feel that way or not is, I can say, irrelevant because it is reality. Reality is that you are a masterpiece. You are designed. You have a specific shape of design that God instilled in you as an individual because you serve a very specific purpose. What I want us to try and figure out today, or at least set it into motion, is what that purpose is. What is your shape? What is your purpose? Now, one of the things that God has given us is spiritual gifts. Take a look in Romans chapter 12. And if you've not figured it out, the S stands for something, the H stands for something, the A and the B and the E, to figure out your shape. And so the S is spiritual gifts. Romans chapter 12, we'll read together from verse 4. Just as each of us has one body with many members, and these members do not all have the same function, so in Christ we who are many form one body, and each member belongs to all the others. Like it says, the body of Christ works like a physical body. We have a body, and each of our body parts have a different function. My hand can do this. My hand can pick up stuff. I love my hand. Okay, but I also have eyes, I have ears, I have feet, I have legs. And it says, I can't say to my leg, you know what, I don't need the leg. I need the leg. And the leg needs the arm, and the arm needs the eye, and the eye needs the ear. The whole body is functioning as a unit. And it all, I love this, all belongs to each other. My arm is not its own body. Okay, my hand is not its own body. It all belongs to each other. And it says the church, the family of God, should function in the same way. And then it says in verse 6, we have, as the body, different gifts according to the grace given us. If a man's gift is prophesying, a better word there would most probably be more accurate, would be preaching, according to the Greek, let him use it in proportion to his faith. If it is serving, let him serve. If it is teaching, let him teach. If it is encouraging, let him encourage. If it is contributing to the needs of others, let him give generously. If it is leadership, let him govern diligently. If it is showing mercy, let him do it cheerfully. Okay? It says, so when you became a Christian, you received a spiritual gift that came alongside of the Holy Spirit. So in other words, it's not a natural ability. It's a spiritual gift. A gift that comes when you receive the Holy Spirit. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 14 says, whoever does not have the Spirit cannot receive the gift that comes from God's Spirit. So in other words, if you are a disciple today, then you have a gift today that you didn't have when you weren't a Christian. So there's natural abilities, and we'll get to that. But you have a gift, a spiritual gift, a gift that was given to you alongside of the Holy Spirit for God's purposes. He gives some examples. Prophesying, or like I said, preaching, bringing forth God's word, serving, teaching, encouraging, contributing to the needs of others, leadership, showing mercy. This is not a comprehensive list. This is not, it's only one of these. Okay, he's saying, hey, these are different things that God has given, and so forth, and so forth, and so forth. But you have a spiritual gift. My question to you today is, what is it? Do you know what it is? Do you know what the gift is that God has given you that you did not have before you became a disciple? Before I became a Christian, I never played any form of leadership role. I was never class captain. You know, most people, you mean, I was head boy. I didn't even know the head boy. Okay, head boy, head girl, head this, head. I was head nothing. Okay. Then God gives us, the day you become a Christian, He gives you a spiritual gift. He gives you other abilities that you didn't have before. It says in 1 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 7, each man has his own gift from God. One has this gift, another has that. We don't get to choose the gifts that we would like to have. God determines what spiritual gift you'll have. And no single gift gets given to everyone, and also no individual has all the gifts. Each of us have a unique set. And yet collectively, when we work together, we form the body. And God didn't give any individual all the gifts so that we would need each other. And in that way, as the arm needs the leg, and the leg needs the eye, and the eye needs the ear, and the mouth needs the tongue, or the tongue needs the mouth, what have you. In the same way, the body would work together, and it would function, and you serve your purpose if you know your spiritual gift, and you live it out. I love this passage in 1 Corinthians 12, verse 7 says, a spiritual gift has been given to each of us as a means of helping the entire church. So God has given you, if you're a Christian, God has given you a spiritual gift, not for yourself, but as a means to help the entire church, a means to serve the body as a whole, a means to fulfill your God-given purpose. What I want us to encourage you to think about is, what is your spiritual gift? Let me see by a show of hands. Who of us are very clear about what our spiritual gift is? Nobody. Okay? And it's less than I thought. I thought for you. Okay? This is important, guys. We have to get this. We have to figure out what is your spiritual gift. Okay? You can't have a shape if you don't even have the S. Okay? So figure out the S. Figure out what your shape is. Whew, now I'm concerned. Number two is heart. Okay, the Bible uses, as we read the Bible, uses the term heart to describe our desires, our hopes, our interests, ambitions, dreams, affections. All of us were given a specific heart for something. All of us, as I'm sure you know, has a specific and a unique heartbeat. No one else's heart beats exactly the same as yours does physically, not historically, not in the future. You have, like a thumbprint, you have a unique heartbeat. But in the same way, we also have a unique, you could say, emotional heartbeat. A heartbeat that where your heart starts racing when someone talks about a specific topic or a specific injustice or a specific something that happened. There is something where it's just your heart starts picking up pace when that happens. It is, you could say, a passion, a holy discontent. Many years ago, I think you still get it, there was a cartoon called Popeye the Sailor Man. Who of us has seen Popeye? Who of us still watches it? Okay. Now, Popeye had a showstopper of a girl that he liked. Her name was? Olive Oil. Now, I mean, she was a real traffic stopper, Olive Oil. When she walked down the streets, you know, men whistled, dogs barked. She was just awesome. And then there was this big bad dude, I think his name was Brutus. And he would mess around with Olive Oil. And at first, Popeye would be quite okay with him messing around. But when he saw that his girl was really in distress, his heartbeat would start going faster and his pulse would race. And he would say, "This is all I can stand. I can stand it no more." Okay, dubious grammar, I know, but he was a sailor man. And then what he would do is he would pop open a can of spinach and he would eat that spinach and supernatural strength would flow into his body, more specifically his biceps, and he would become an unstoppable force and he would save Olive Oil from her distress. But that thing of, "This is all I can stand it no more," that is heart. That is passion. There is inside of all of us something, even when you were a kid, where you felt like, "This is all I can stand. I can stand it no more." And it bothers you. But the person right next to you couldn't care less. Because it's your heart. Proverbs 27 verse 19 says, "As water reflects a face, so a man's heart reflects the man." Your heart, what your heart beats for, will give you a good indication of your kingdom purpose. If you think of someone like Moses, Moses' heart beat for his people. When he was a young prince and he walked outside to see how his people, the Hebrews, were doing, although he grew up as an Egyptian, he saw an Egyptian beating a Hebrew. He pulled him off of that. That's all that he could stand, and he ended up killing him, which is not a good idea. But you could certainly see something happening inside of his heart. 40 years later, God harnessed that heart, and he said to Moses, "I can see what is beating in your heart is beating in mine too, and I want to use you. I want to use you to lead my people out of Egypt." It was his heart. It was his passion. If you think of David, a young teenage boy, goes to the battle lines. There's Goliath screaming out, defying the Israelites. No one does anything, but David in his heart feels like, this is all I can stand. I can stand it no more. How can this giant trash talk the God of the Israelites, and we stand by and do nothing? And he just runs full steam ahead without any rational plan. But God sees that raw passion, and he takes that one stone like a laser-guided missile, and he takes the giant out. Why? God used his heart. What is your heart beat for? Race for? Is it poverty? We feel like when you see poverty, it disturbs you, it bothers you, and you feel like when I look around at this, I feel like I must do something. People that are far from God, is it that your heart beats for that? Is it children? You have to know. In 1 Samuel chapter 12, verse 24, it says that we need to serve God, Him, faithfully with all of our hearts. If I don't know what my heart beats for, how can I serve Him faithfully? So the H is heart. Now let's hope this one goes better. Who of us knows what we have a heart for? Okay, we're doing a little bit better. Okay, that is important. What is your heart race for? This all is part of your shape, all why God placed you on this earth. Let's look at number three here. Abilities. Now, abilities or ability is different than the natural talent that you were born with. Natural talent, that's from birth. Spiritual gift is something that you get when you get the Holy Spirit. Now, Romans chapter 12, verse 6, it says, God has given each of us ability to do certain things well. Isn't that cool? God has given each of us the ability to do certain things well. Some people have a God-given natural ability with words. They are very well spoken, or they write well. It's just they can do it and you can't. It's as simple as that. It is a God-given ability. Other people, I don't know if you've seen this, I'm sure all of us have bumped into them, are great salesmen. I mean, there are people, they can sell ice to an Eskimo. And the Eskimo just, oh no, give me more of that, give me more of that. They are just naturally, I know this is Chris van Staden. I don't know how many of you guys remember Chris. He now lives in the United States. But man, this dude, he is a salesman. Every time he gets into a sales job, I kid you not, it's about a month or two and he's number one in that job. It's just God has given him that gift. It's a natural ability. Other people are amazing with numbers. Some people are just naturally amazing with kids. I didn't know how to handle kids in any way or manner until I had my own. I had to figure it out. Okay, others are just, before they even have kids, I know Charles is like that, love kids. It's a natural ability. They're good with kids. There are some people, and I'm not one of them, who just has an ability to make money. I kid you not, there are people, man, things that I've read and seen, there are people that they work like a quarter of the time that you do, and they make 20 times as much as you do. They're just good at it. I once listened to an interview, the guy's a billionaire, and he said, you know, I just can't help it. So you know what, I've gone bust every now and then, but then, you know, within a year or two, I'm a billionaire again. And fascinating, the guy wasn't arrogant about it. He said he doesn't know how it works, he's just good at making money. Now remember, you don't get to choose the gift, unfortunately. Some people are skilled with their hands. Devet, I know, Minnick, Gerard, these guys, they can do anything. I did not get that gift. I try and throw money at the problem. I'm one of those guys, so when the car stops next to the road, you get out of the car, you lift the bonnet and you look under there, as if you have any clue what's going on there. But you look under the bonnet and you walk back to your wife and you say, oh no, I don't know what's wrong. There was no remote way that I would know what's wrong. Why I walked to the bonnet in the first place is a mystery. What is your natural ability? What are you naturally good at? In other words, where other people, they work at what comes naturally for you. They have to really slave away to do what you just almost do in your sleep. And then I want to ask him, how are you using it for kingdom purposes? Now, sometimes I ask people this question. I say, hey, so what would you say? What are you gifted at? I say, oh, yeah, I think I'm gifted at this, and I'm gifted at that, and I'm gifted at this. And I say, great. And how are you using it to build God's kingdom? And the most common answer that I get is that I've not been using it to build God's kingdom. I've simply been using it to build my own. We've been given gifts for a purpose. In the book of Exodus, when God wanted to make the tabernacle and all the utensils for worship, he provided artists and craftsmen who were shaped with, the Bible says, skills and ability and knowledge and all kinds of crafts to make artistic design and to engage in all kind of craftsmanship. God knew that he was, thousands of years ago, he knew that he was going to build a temple. And so he gifted these craftsmen with that ability in order to build a tabernacle. You have an ability for a reason. 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 10, it says, each one should use whatever gift he has received to serve others faithfully, administering God's grace in its various forms. So again, why did God give us that ability to Tevet and Minuk and Charat? Is to do the handyman work in my home. Okay, why did he give us that ability? Is to serve the body, to build kingdom purposes. And I know there are some of us are sitting thinking, but I don't have any abilities. I'm just an ordinary fellow. Nothing can be further from the truth. Studies have shown that the average person has between 500 to 700 different skills and abilities. 500 to 700. Did you know that the average brain can store 100 trillion facts? Your mind can handle 15,000 decisions per second. Your nose can smell up to 10,000 different odors. Single brothers, take note of that. Your touch can detect an item 0.001 millimeter thick. You can feel it. 0.001 millimeter thick. You can feel. You are a bundle of incredible abilities. You are an amazing creation of God. The question is not whether you have ability. The question is, what are your abilities and how are we utilizing and leveraging those abilities for the purpose for which we were made? B, personality. Did you know that DNA molecules can really sort of connect in an infinite number of ways? The specific number, apparently, what they give is 10 to the power of 2.4 billion different ways. Do you get that? I know usually when you get to big numbers, it gets confusing. 10 to the power of 2.4 billion. And that's 10 to the power of 2 is 100. 10 to the power of 3 is 1,000. Now, 10 to the power of 2.4 billion, that is the amount of the options. One out of that is the chances of finding another you. So, if you were to write, just to give you a better idea, if you were to write that number out and you made each zero 5 millimeters and that was half a centimeter wide, and you write that number in a piece of paper, the piece of paper would have to be 12,000 kilometers long. Okay, that's a long piece of paper. That is how unique you are. I know most of us most probably don't feel very unique. Again, whether you feel it or not is irrelevant. It is a God-given fact, a scientific fact. God made you, and when he made you, he broke the mold. There's no one else who will be exactly like you. God loves variety. And because he loves variety, he by nature made people who are more out of themselves. He also, by nature, made people who would be more reserved or more quiet. He made some to be thinkers, some to be feelers. He gave some the ability to work better individually, others the ability to work better as a team. Some he made funny and others not. Okay? But he made us that way. In 1 Corinthians 12, verse 6, it says that God works through different people in different ways, but it's the same God who achieves His purpose through them all. It is the same God who achieves His purpose through them all. God gave you and me a unique personality to achieve His purpose through you for the collective and to advance His kingdom. We see it in the Bible. We see someone that has a sanguine personality in Peter. The sanguine is, you know, very out of themselves, very the life of the party, very happy to be everywhere. Peter the apostle was like that. He is like, oh, here comes Jesus on the water. Let me walk on the water too. And then, glung, 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 you know, he sinks. But God was able to harness that personality and use it for kingdom purposes. He takes a more serious person, a choleric, and the apostle Paul, someone that is driven by nature, take no prisoners. And he uses that personality to take the church all across the world. He uses an Elijah or a David, someone that's more melancholy, more deeper and feels more deeply. And he uses David to write beautiful psalms that inspires us thousands of years later. He uses a phlegmatic, someone who is more rustic. And Abraham, who else could be the father of faith and wait 25 years for a promise to be fulfilled, for his child to be born. God uses the phlegmatic in a specific way. Each personality, no matter who you are, each personality is uniquely given to you for a God-given purpose. Again, the question remains, what is your personality? Who are you? And then how are you utilizing who you are for kingdom purposes? The last one, experiences. In Romans chapter 8, verse 28, it says, and we know that in all things God works for the good of those who love Him, who has been called according to His purpose. Let's just read that part for now. Who of us knows this verse? Who of us has read this before? I think most of us know. Who of us ever found ourselves in a situation and you think of this verse and you think, how could this possibly be true? Okay, notice, in all things God works for those who love Him. And I'm in this situation and I'm thinking, how could He be possibly working in this? I don't feel Him working. I don't find this useful. I don't know why I'm here. All things He works. Don't we feel that? And we know that in all things God works for the good. How could this possibly be good? For those who love Him, who have been called according to His purpose. And here's the part that we neglect, verse 29. For those God foreknew, He also predestined to be conformed to the likeness of His Son. Whatever happens in our lives is for good. The good equals in the likeness of His Son. So in other words, whatever happens in my life, God allows that to happen in my life so that I can become more like Jesus. That is the good. The good is not that I win the lotto. The good is not that I would just have a smile on my face. The good is that Christ will be formed in me irrespective of what is happening in my life. God will utilize that which is in my life. He will utilize the experiences that I have so that Christ can be formed. We are shaped by the experiences of our lives. The family that you grew up in shaped you some way or another. If you grew up in the Waltons family, then that would have shaped you in a specific way. If you grew up in the Simpson family, that would have shaped you in another way. But all of us, irrespective of the family or environment that you grew up in, it shaped you. Whether you are wealthy or poor or less wealthy, it shapes you. Every experience, every opportunity, work, sports, socially, relationally, God has allowed these different experiences in our lives for a reason. And the reason is that it shapes us. It forms us. But then we need to figure out these experiences that I've had, how can it be utilized in service of others? And often our greatest service actually comes from our greatest hurt. And sometimes we wonder, but how can I go through this? And I remember for me, my teenagers, I love not working out. And, you know, the girl of your dreams, you're not the guy of her dreams. And you sit there, why, Lord, why? And you think, how could this possibly happen? How can this possibly work out? But why is he doing this to me? I'm just a teenager. And as time goes by, you realize, you know, that you can help others, even other kids, work through that. And you can say to them, you know what, there's life after Susie. You will live. It doesn't feel that way. And that is maybe as a youngster, but some of us, we have gone through a lot more traumatic experiences. The loss of a loved one. You ask, what good can possibly come from this? It would be your ability to help someone else who loses a loved one. A divorce, what good can possibly come through this? It is your ability to use that pain in service of someone else and be able to say, I've been there. I know Felisa and I, and this is not sort of in our past, but we couldn't have kids. And for anyone that have not been able to have kids, I'm sure there are even people today who want to have kids and can't have kids, it is something that others don't understand. Unless you've been in it. And people would say things to us like, well, be grateful that you're married. There are people that are not even married. That didn't help. When we had one kid and we wanted to have another, then people would say to us, and I'm talking about disciples, would say to us, be grateful that you have a kid. Now, we are grateful for the kid, but we sort of hope for another. Be grateful you have one. That didn't help. Okay, so if that was you. It didn't help. Little did we know that, obviously, God, through His grace, allowed us to have more children than we anticipated. Let's just call it that. But it helps me today that when someone else is struggling to have kids, you know what? It's tough. It's horrible. It really is that there's a desire in you to have something that you can't have. No matter what you do, it cannot change. You try everything. And I remember us going to a fertility clinic, and you think you're alone, and you go to that fertility clinic, and at 7 a.m., that room is full of people. All going through the same thing. So why does God allow that? Why do these things happen in our lives? So that we can leverage our learnings. And we can use it in service of others. Now this morning, what experiences has God given you, good or bad? Experiences that maybe you did not want to have in your life. Experiences even like something, and I've seen this and I've seen how God uses, where someone left God. Left Him, walked away from Him. And He came back and could use that experience. One is to help others that have left, or two, to help those that have not left and say, don't do it. I've been there. The grass looks greener on the other side, but it isn't. What experiences? That's the E. That is our shape. The S, spiritual gifts. The H, heart. A, ability. P, personality. E, experiences. That's your shape. For you to be fulfilled, it's not going to be, I know it's attractive, but it's not going to be where you live. It's not going to be the job that you do, although we keep on pursuing it. It is not going to be married or unmarried or kids or no kids. It is going to be whether I live out my design. Whether I fulfill the purpose, the shape for which I was made. Whether I utilize the spiritual gift that was given. Whether I allow God and serve Him fully with the heart for a particular cause that He has given me. Whether I utilize my natural abilities. Whether I leverage my personality and take those even painful experiences and use it for His kingdom purposes. Use it for His glory. Then you'll know your shape. Then you'll understand why you're here and what God wants us to live for. Amen. Let's close out with a word of prayer.